good.
I don't want to read it.
Today, along with Senator Dick Clark of Iowa, I was able to get an amendment through the Senate which will exempt students from the Farm Labor Act. Now, this legislation is especially important to areas in North Carolina that are involved in the production of seed corn, for the Farm Labor Act has been applied to prevent students from detasseling corn. This has been disastrous to the seed corn industry and dried up summer job opportunities for high school students in southeastern North Carolina. Congress never intended, in my opinion, that this legislation would be applied to students, but the Labor Department extended it through regulation. I'm delighted that we were able to turn this action around, making more summer jobs available for our young people in years to come. Having a fuss down there. There was some hopeful news about the cost of living this week. For one thing, the government reported that wholesale prices dropped 1.5% in August, the biggest monthly decrease in over 2 years. This encouraging news followed a report that personal income in the country gained 1.4% in July. The economy is far from stable, but good news of this sort is welcomed after all of the bad reports that we've been getting. Inflation is our biggest problem in this country, and any success in slowing it down has to be good for all of us. Civil Service Reform Bill has now passed both houses of Congress and seems sure to become law. This will mean that a new deal, or will mean a new deal for government workers, making it easier to reward those who do a good job and easier to get. What it really means is that some control can be obtained over a federal bureaucracy that has too long gone unchecked. Dedicated civil servants will like it. Now, I supported this effort, and I hope that it can be used to bring better business practices and more common sense into government.
A full-scale investigation has been started into the activities of the General Services Administration. That's the agency, of course, that controls government property. There's evidence that graft and bribery there is costing the taxpayers large sums of money. Indeed, the head of the Government Accounting Office said yesterday that graft in government may be costing $25 billion a year. Now, this is roughly half of this year's budget deficit. Hearings have started on the GSA charges before a Senate committee, and the head of the GSA seems determined to stop any illegal activities. This should be pursued until the last guilty person is found and prosecuted. And I'm encouraged that there seems to be a general resolve to do this quickly and to do it thoroughly.
To save some $2 billion in tax money by refusing to allow any new funding for public works next year. Now, the House of Representatives has approved some new funding, and it will now have to be decided in a conference committee. I voted against the funding because the country can't afford it and because what is proposed would create public works jobs at too high a cost. Estimates are that it would cost more than $75,000 a year for every new job going to a disadvantaged worker, and this is unreasonable. Also, the program would largely duplicate the present CETA program. We've got to draw the line on spending because government spending fans the flames of inflation that is hurting every one of us. Not too good, but it's bad.
The rail strike is serious for the state of North Carolina, and this morning I telegraphed President Carter, urging him to use his good offices to bring about a settlement of that strike. I'm deeply concerned that a long strike will increase the country's inflation rate and particularly harm farming in North Carolina, especially our poultry farming. Reports indicate that the strike is spreading. I intend to watch the situation closely, and I hope that the strike can be settled quickly and without the interference of the courts or other federal officials. The Senate is now taking up the long-awaited natural gas deregulation bill. And while there are many deficiencies in the bill, one provision helps ensure that farmers are not hurt in case of another bad, harsh winter. Under this provision, farm uses of natural gas are given a priority that is second only to residences, hospitals, schools, and other institutions. The priority of farms is raised above that of industries and power plants. Now, I think it's good that we're keeping the emergency energy needs of our farmers in mind. It's past time for the Congress to pass an energy bill, and I hope that this natural gas compromise will be enacted before the week is out. No matter which way. The fact that 1 million dead fish have appeared in the Neuse River, which is already under investigation because of suspected pollution, demands an explanation. There have been too many signs in recent years that marine life in our state is being endangered because of foreign materials in our rivers and streams. In the case of the fish kill in the Neuse, I'm asking the Environmental Protection Agency to make a thorough study and report its findings. The irresponsibility exhibited by the recent spilling of PCB in our state is not to be tolerated, and it should be determined if a similar situation exists in the killing of fish in the Neuse River. Approach to take. As it's now handled, this lunch program is very expensive because of high administrative cost, both to the federal government and to the local schools. We are, in effect, spending money on bureaucratic overhead when we could be spending it on hot lunches for the children. The present system gives lunches to some students, greatly reduced prices for others, and slightly reduced prices to the rest. In effect, we have created three classes of students in our schools, and it's impossible to keep it a secret as to who's getting that. Being singled out for special treatment in this way can be very embarrassing for a child. We were all children once, and most of us have children. So we should know what it's like for a child to be treated as a special case because of economic circumstances which are totally beyond the child's control. Many school children from lower-income families simply don't benefit from the program at all because they or their parents consider it demeaning. Yet others who are not really qualified get in on the program. Some parents send in false information and set an example of petty fraud before their children's eyes. Meanwhile, teachers and school employees are put in the position of being policemen and social workers, which ought not to be their function. In some schools, a program is administered by someone specially hired for the purpose. In others, it's done by teachers who must take time away from their teaching duties every day. The program as it exists is discriminatory, and it's a red tape headache for the schools. When I introduced my bill to do away with the red tape and provide lunches to all, the response from educators in North Carolina was overwhelming. The American School Food Service Association has given it unequivocal support. The problem with the present system is so serious that two North Carolina counties, Hoke and Edgecombe, have gone ahead with universal programs without state or federal support. Their experiences have shown that a school lunch program for all students costs no more than the old ones. I believe that we could have the same result on a nationwide basis if we can do away with existing bureaucratic requirements. I believe that my program would be cost-effective for several reasons. It's true that the money I believe my approach would be cost-effective for a number of reasons. It's true the money we'd have to spend at the federal level would be increased, but the time and money the local schools now have to spend on the lunch programs would be saved, and we could buy the food at greatly reduced prices. We require the children to be in school all day. We buy them books and we buy them bats and balls. We also buy them lunch one way or another, through our federal and local taxes or out of the parents' pockets. In the long run, we could do this more cheaply through a universal school lunch program. In the near future, I'll introduce additional legislation to set up pilot programs across the country to see if I'm right.
I believe we'll find that we can benefit our children more at the best price for the taxpayer. The absence of proper food for the children interferes with their physical health and makes it more difficult for them to stay alert and learn. We owe it to their futures to tend to their needs, and we owe it to ourselves to do it right. This has been Speaking of Washington, and I'm Robert Morgan.
Again. I'm very disturbed about reports that excess tobacco, which should not be sold until July of next year, is currently being marketed in the southern part of this country, and particularly in Georgia. I've been working very hard with Congressman Stephen Neal on this matter to see that violations are penalized and that the problem is eliminated. Obviously, this problem will reduce the price that our middle and old belt farmers receive for their tobacco and therefore must be dealt with immediately and effectively. I've communicated with Secretary of Agriculture Bob Berglund on this matter, and his office has assured me that they're looking into it. Congressman Neal and I will continue to work on it until the matter is resolved.
The Environmental Protection Agency has ruled that the Southport Nuclear Station must be equipped with costly cooling towers. And although Carolina Power and Light Company has asked for the opportunity to present additional evidence, and there is additional evidence that needs to be presented, the request has been denied by the EPA Regional Administrator in Atlanta. In view of this, I've asked Douglas Costell, the EPA Administrator here in Washington, to overrule the regional office for the purpose of allowing more evidence to be heard. Cost of building these expensive towers will be added to the light bills of customers in the Wilmington area, and this should not happen until all of the best scientific evidence is seen and heard. If the towers are needed to protect the environment, then they should be built. But no decision should be made until all of the facts are known.
I believe that there's good news for those who are tired of big federal bureaucracy. At long last, the Senate passed a sunset bill which calls for a periodic review of all government agencies. This would make each agency satisfy Congress that it is performing a useful function, or it could go out of existence or have its duties and funds curtailed. If the House of Representatives concurs in this action, then we will have much better control of the bureaucracy. I was a co-sponsor of this legislation 3 years ago, and the bill that passed last night was co-sponsored by me along with others. I think I'm gratified that the Senate has taken this action, and at long last, maybe we'll get a chance to have a chance to get a hold on federal bureaucracies.
Today I learned from the President's trade negotiators that our country has reached agreement with Korea limiting imports of work shoes, a problem that has threatened many jobs in several locations around North Carolina. The agreement will permit the Koreans to export 3.7 million pairs of work shoes every year for the next 3 years. Now, this is a higher number than I would have preferred. However, it's important that we gain a definite commitment from the Koreans rather than face a continuing onslaught of imports. I'm going to continue to watch this situation closely to assure that the interest of North Carolina and the workers' jobs in North Carolina is protected in every way. What has developed in the country, especially among members of the Democratic Party, over whether to cut government spending to help fight inflation. Democrats have always argued, and I think this is a healthy sign because the party has always thrived on diversity. That's just the way we are. Those who say that cutting federal spending will be cruel to those on fixed income, the helpless and the aged, question the compassion of those who would cut spending. And surely those who have no feeling for their fellow men are the ones who would want to deprive the less fortunate of help from their government. But there's another side to the picture. The fact is that unless we cut and curb inflation, it's the poor and the elderly and those who are getting by on small fixed incomes who are going to be hurt the most. When the goods and services they must have go up and up, they feel it first and they feel it the hardest. So I think that we must try to balance our compassion with frugality in government. The bare facts are that unless we stop the cheapening of our dollar, everyone suffers and the needy and helpless suffer most.
I deeply regret the decision to end our relationship with the Republic of China located on Taiwan. While I favor increased trade and better relations with mainland China, I am saddened that we have made turning our back upon an old ally part of the deal. There's some doubt as to what, if any, action Congress can do to undo this action by the administration, since the Constitution gives the President the authority to conduct foreign policy. But I sincerely believe that we've made a mistake and that our credibility among nations of the world has been damaged. I've received reports that the Department of Agriculture may end a program that has helped drain farmland in eastern North Carolina, a program that's very important to the East. As a result of these reports, I've asked Secretary Berglund to continue financing of underground drainage systems, or tiles, as an approved conservation practice in the 1979 Agriculture Conservation Program. ACP has been one of the best farm programs with benefit to nearly every family farmer. Tiles are crucial in eastern North Carolina, where water drainage is essential to both good conservation and good farming. In 1977, 798 farm families got ACP support for tiles, with many turned away because of lack of funds. I work to see that tiles are included in the 1979 ACP regulations. There have been reports from Union County and surrounding areas that low-level Air Force flights have disrupted turkey farming operations. I brought these reports to the attention of the Air Force, and I'm pleased to announce that these low-level flights, which originate from Shaw Air Force Base in South Carolina, will be suspended on December the 28th. At the present time, I'm trying to identify other counties that have the same problem and get this precedent established for those counties. Needless to say, I'm concerned that these vital training missions continue. Nonetheless, I believe that the cooperation shown by the Air Force indicates that flight routes can be developed that will not disrupt these important farming operations.